Major Notley, Reel 7. Can you explain to me what happened at the Incontro?
I'll do my best. Okay. Yes, Pat. Incontro, the meeting place, was a hill southeast of Florence and south of the Arno. It had on it a monastery which had a wall around it, and this wall was a diamond shape. Quite obviously, this had to be overcome, and we couldn't have left this noble point in the hands of the Germans and gone into Florence. I remember the weather was very hot. It was in August 1944. This is a hill which the Somerset Light Infantry had failed to take. So in a way, we scored over the Somerset Light Infantry. And I think other regiments had bypassed it as being too difficult an objective. I was then commanding D Company. And the other two company commanders, Jean Knight and John Cadillo, were the leading companies. We had a very good briefing from Jeff McNaughton, one of the best briefings that one could have. We had all been taken to a point where you could see part of the monster, part of the wall, because you couldn't see the monsters behind it. And Jeffrey Musson had decided that I should be the reserve company. The other two companies went up in the early morning with a daylight attack over a very, very bad country. I've been back and seen how overgrown it is, and I have pictures of that country taken about the same year or just before this date in August 1944.
What sort of overgrowth was it?
Overgrowth was trees and things, small trees had grown up, and scrub. And it only emphasized the barriers of that area when we went up. So these two companies were held up. And what we had all discovered by then was that there was a breach in the wall, which I saw many years later had obviously been patched up. So I was ordered by an army officer to go up and take command of the situation as required.
When you set off on the advance towards the monastery as reserve company commander, where was your company?
My company was in me.
But where was it in relation to the two forward companies?
We were in reserve.
Yes.
We had to give up to me to go up and decide how best to organise the two companies, rationalise them on the
time. When the two companies who were leading went forward, did they go forward abreast? Or did they go forward one after another?
They went forward one after another and spread out.
Yes. And your company presumably moved forward behind them as they
my
went forward.
In other words, there were two up, you could say.
Two companies up and your company back.
Yes, that's right.
Were you between the two forward companies, or behind the left one, or behind the right one, as far as you remember?
Between.
Yes. So you've got a central.
Between.
How far ahead of you were the rear elements of the two forward companies?
That is a very difficult one to answer now. I suppose they're talking about 150 yards, something like that, probably 200 yards, pretty close, really.
And how were you formed up, your own company? Did you have two platoons forward and one back, or one forward and two back?
Yes, I had actually one forward and two back. And I contacted the other two company commanders and decided that I was going for the week in the war, and one of my platoons was to work its way around to the entrance to this main entrance where there was a sort of, might have been a little shrine, but there was a covered area there, which I thought would be very good for our observation post. We had a gunner, officer, who is still around today, and put him in there. We got up to this gap in the wall with Norman Spurden's was to break through. The Germans were throwing grenades and shouting Johnny, Johnny, and pretty likely picked them up and threw them back, but didn't always work that way.
How high was the wall?
I thought about 289 feet. You couldn't jump over it.
So you were slinging grenades over the top of the wall?
That's right.
Were the Germans on the wall or
no,
behind
it? No, they were behind the wall, but they were fairly well spread out along the wall. So Norman Spurden's, who got badly wounded and luckily survived, broke in and made good headway into the monastery area itself, where there were a large number of monks. I forget how many, but today there might be one or two only. I came in and contacted the quarter and started to patrol down the other side, that is, towards the river. But most of the Germans by then had either surrendered or been put out of action. And I don't think a lot got away.
Do you know what strength they were?
Roughly 90 to 93, I think.
That's about a company's worth, or
yes.
A weak company.
Yes.
But you said earlier on that your two forward companies were held up initially.
Yes.
What was it that had stopped them?
The two companies held up because the Germans were sniping them, as I say, they were getting sick if they got anywhere near the wall, and they were throwing this grenade over. But these two companies didn't really get as far as that. The two leading companies, such as Tregunner and Knight.
I mean, where were the Germans firing at them from? Did they have loopholes in the walls of the monastery, or...? Do they have positions outside?
No, they're outside. I don't think they were firing from the monastery itself. But I'm not absolutely certain about that. But they had positions inside the grounds.
So they had positions inside?
They had subjects and things, yes.
Yeah, outside the monastery and inside it as well.
Whether they were firing from the monastery, I'm not certain. But there were positions, subjects positions inside the grounds of the monastery. That's inside this diamond shaped wall. So that was that way, and I was very lucky, they made their turn, and two leading two commanders got major crosses. Tony Spencer, whom you have already interviewed, did a very good job. We went down fairly soon on a patrol to see whether we could capture the Germans, see what position was outside Florence, and he crossed the river, they were fighting for, and brought back an enormous German, And the few people I've seen, which they were able to take there, which I think is quite useful for intelligence.
What sort of impression did this German make on you? What was his demeanour? And
I think he was very silent. I didn't think he was prepared to talk to us at all. But I think he was quite glad to be kept for the head of now.
When you took the monastery, did you have any contact with the monks after you'd cleared the Germans out?
No, not really. No. They were really there, I think it was quite a monument. The interesting thing today is that there is nobody there who knows anything at all about it.
What was the view forward from the monastery when you captured it?
View towards Florence? It is a fairly hill on the road, and not so steep as the other side, as I came up. And then there were olive groves, and the hill went up a little bit towards Florence. Eventually, we went into Florence. We went the first troops, I don't think, but the girls, I remember going into Florence and people coming out very shiny and being delighted to see it. I don't think even the first piece into bombs.
Was the monastery a good place to have a gun or OP?
the OP was an excellent place because it was a little shrine, and I really looked at it and could see very well what this James were doing on the front side of the monastery.
So it was an ideal location then?
Yes.
Do you remember if there was a great deal of artillery support for the attack on Florence to get into the town?
No, not really, I don't think, then. I think the Germans had almost given up, and Florence was completely deserved at all costs, really. So I think the less the better, and I think it was very, very little.
And it would seem to me that if you were faced with an objective like the monastery, with its wall and its elevated position, you could have benefited yourself from some substantial artillery support on the way up.
Yes. I think artillery support would have to have been inside the monastery area. There was some inside the wall rather than outside, because we were so close and there was 2 meter covered. So I think that the artillery support, I honestly forget how much we had. But any that was provided would obviously to have been inside the monastery area.
What about your mortars? Were you able to use them effectively during this attack?
No, I don't think the mortars, we have a lot of mortar support, which was probably quite good for mortar support. Again, I think that there was some from the cannon mortars. Mm-hmm. And we also had the heavy mortars.
The 3-inch?
Yeah, the bigger one there. So
4.5-inch would that be?
Yeah, it was a big mortar, which was something to use levers and made into heavy mortar. I think we had a lot of few rounds of them.
When you were being briefed by Sir Geoffrey Musson before the attack started, what did he tell you that was so valuable and worth knowing?
Valuable because he went into such tremendous detail, and there was a diagram of the monastery and its wall in one gym. And the length, the whole thing was a builder's drawing, really, on the building.
Do you have any idea of where he got that information?
I don't know how he got it, but I would think that probably in archives on the way up, I might have found something at the time. Probably not necessarily plots, but in a minute. But I think that probably could have been done. And possible aerial observation.
Oh, yes. Had you.
Yeah. Yes.
Had you had occasion previously to use air photographs?
Yes, he had great names.
Were they useful?
I suppose they were, I think, on a fairly high level. At the CEO, I mean, we obviously had a head loss, but they had the various, such a lot of rubble, but
And did were you told who the enemy were? Anything about the size of the enemy in the monastery or their
character? Well, we knew they were a group of, they were all sorts and sizes, and I don't think they were combat troops from them.
What, it was a scratch force?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Did they fight well when you... Did you take any prisoners when you got the monastery?
Yes, massive prisoners.
And did they seem to be content with being captured, or were they more...
Well, we used them to carry the wounded, and we took doors and things, and we can do that. Yeah, I think we were quite happy.
Did you have a lot of wounded to take back?
Yes. My memory rather scares me. But we had, I remember one sergeant, his name was Johnny, who was quite badly wounded, and he asked me to be in.
When you were going for the breach in the wall, you said you broke in. Does this mean there was a hole in the wall or a weak place? There was a hole.
Oh yes, yes.
How wide was it?
I suppose it was about 7 feet at the top and down to a V. So that they were going over rubble to get into it.
Well, for climbing up a rubble slide to get over the other side. Were the enemy covering it with fire?
Yes, I suppose they were. Must have been. Yes.
You would imagine that if there was a hole in the wall, it would be exactly the place where they would concentrate.
Yes.
Automatic.
Yes, I think they were.
So and that was your main point of entry into
the... That was the point of entry, into the actual monastery, apart from the OP.
Yes.
Which,
once you were inside, did you have to fight your way through the buildings, room by room, to clear the Germans out?
Yes. A limited extent, I think, the enormous burdens between. I think they're ready. Packed up, but lots of little opposition on the way to get into the monastery.
So once you'd got into the wall, through the wall, the Germans were demoralised, is that
right?
When you were sending your platoon up to the breach to get in, how did they move? What formation were they in? Were they in a recognisable layout, or were they just scrambling up as best they could?
I think they scrambled up as best they could, because I'm only looking at sections now, you see.
Yes.
So I'm only about 8 miles in each section. I think Norman led with one section and then two companies.
So it was just a rush to get into the breach.
Well, it should have got a bit more, I think. Anyway, it's not a hell of a lot. Because it's only the major car.
But he got through the attack and...
he survived, but he was pretty badly wounded.
Oh, was he?
Oh, yes.
What happened to him? How was he wounded?
He was wounded in see as in the body, and he was sort of showing us and so on.
Did this happen as he was going in through the breach or later on in the grounds?
I think it happened when you go through the breach, but he managed to sort of keep going.
Did he?
Because one does, in the wood, sometimes.
What about his leading section? Did they suffer heavily, the ones who went in immediately after him? What happened then next after you'd taken the incontro? You mentioned going into Florence. Did that happen immediately afterwards, or was there a...
I think there was a bit of an interview. I know we stayed in the monastery. I don't remember when we came out of the monastery and came back again, but we obviously did. We didn't go from the monastery.
In Florence. Was there any attempt by the enemy to take the monastery back?
No.
It seems rather odd because it sounds as though it was an important position.
Well, I think they had the truth to do it. I don't think there was any question of recapturing. And we were far too strong once we were here. I mean, we had all sorts of support.
What sort of support?
Well, the support that we'd expect a battalion to have. We had our artillery of those sorts, we had our mortars.
Did you make preparations for meeting a counterattack?
Yes, but it was pretty obvious that we didn't come.
Did you change any of the German defensive positions, or did you occupy them yourselves?
Another battalion came up and took over, so really that was rather up to them. I mean, we did. Take up other positions. It wasn't very long, and another talent came up, and obviously we couldn't do much more.
Thinking back, had the Germans put their defensive fighting positions in the same sort of places as you would have done, or had they?
I think so, yes. Yes, I think so.
So well sighted?
Yes. Yes.
Did you collect any German equipment for your own use?
Well, I had various bits of equipment. I can't remember if I got anything out of that. But I had a Luger. And I think I had one of these German quick-firing equipment in this thing.
The Schmeisser.
Schmeisser.
Submachine gun.
And a Luger, and I think I had a Colt pistol of some sort. But of course, when I was taken prisoner, that was spent.
It sounds like you were rather encumbered with weapons, you know, a pistol on each hip and a submachine gun as well.
We didn't carry them around.
Oh, you didn't?
So
it was your reserve armoury.
Yes, I didn't. We had a stick, which people, I walked up with a stick. I can remember someone telling me that I'd forgotten about this stick, which I found really useful.
Not a very effective weapon, though,
yeah.
Unless you're at very close quarters.
Yeah, but I think the men appreciated that I was carrying a stick, and it was a, well, sort of symbol.
Did you carry a revolver as well, going...
I certainly had a Tommy gun, probably.
A Tommy gun?
Thompson gun,
Which was most useful, really, the Tommy gun or the rifle?
Tommy gun was really useful, but it was a bit bigger. As a rifle was heavier, probably, than Tommy gun. I can't tell you exactly. And I was very fond of poetry, and I could put the words in quickly.
Well, because the Tommy gun is all right for close range, isn't it?
Yes.
But for any accurate shooting, it's hopeless. I suppose you might find it effective if you were street clearing or anything of that sort.
Yes.
But in any case, is it the business of an officer to do any shooting, or should he be reserving himself to?
But I think he needs something to protect himself.
Yes.
The answer is clearly not his business, perhaps. I would say not, but I did do the infusion in my own. I did proceed it anyway.
You're saying that you got relieved once you'd taken the incontro and you'd been holding it for a bit. Another battalion came up. What happened to you after that?
Oh, we went back to reserve. We were then. After France, we went across the back lines and we went into the 8th Army. I think, we were the 8th Army at the time of France. Yes, I think we were the 8th Army, but we went right across the other side with you. Once we got to prison.
When you went to the other side of Italy, did you find that there was a different atmosphere and conditions different radically?
No, the country was very hilly, and it was a lot of larger hills. And so we came to the very valleys. Yes, I suppose it was slightly different. I think I could say between Bessino and Incontro that the country was from much smaller hills. And some of them had little towns on them. Because in the old days they were all different, they were all fortified and so on.
Fortified villages. And
That was all different when we got the other side. Yeah, I think there were bigger towns and not so many villages, but some quite big ones in the country.
Towns tend to be concentrated on the coastal plain, don't they?
Yes.
And that along the Adriatic.
Yes.
What about the population? Was there any difference in them that you noticed?
They were always friendly. I mean, the population, as far as we're concerned, whatever we did. I remember going back to a village where we had been going fighting after it was over, one knee, and actually I had a job, which I may mention, where it was to go and find out where people were who were in hospital from the beginning. I had a clerk and a doctor and a father, and I went to Rome or something. But I went back to a little village where we had been trying to fight him and stayed with some peasants who couldn't be nicer. In fact, we all slept in the same room, not the same bed. I remember I got into a bed early, and they came and got into a big bed, and in the morning they were gone. Well, in the early morning I got up.
Out to work?
Out to work, and I did it, that's all we're doing. But a lot of fun with several beds, these two, healthy. Very nice day.
Did you speak any Italian by that stage?
Enough, yes. Yeah, and I went back and I did. Send a message when we went back long after the war. Well, very little time, not very much was needed. I spent a little more than troops, I think.
What were you doing once you got over onto that side? Were you continuing in advance?
Yes, it was.
And what was the opposition like?
We had the occasional tanks, begging. The German tank. A lot of mines. We did a night attack, which was a bit of a fiasco. I'm not sure anyone ever did.
What happened to that? Why was it a fiasco?
You know, there was very little opposition when we got there. And I remember all the details of the night attack. You know, very, very important it was to know what you're doing and where the start line was and where you got there and where you went and tape and so on. So we got to onto the hillside, and I think the answer was there wasn't much opposition at all. I think we got the right place.